This is an interview with Joseph Lopresti on March 8th, 1980. Gene Scarpacci is the interviewer.
As far back as we could, that would be obviously before you were born. But did your parents tell you anything about why they decided to come from Sicily to America? What made them decide to do that? Did they ever talk about that?
Well, I guess they said it was maybe they had a relative that told them it was better to live in there and all.
Oh, did they have relatives who lived in Baltimore?
Yeah, cousins. Cousin Anna there. Mm-hmm.
What, which side was she? Mother or father's side, do you know?
It was, I think, cousin of my cousin. Father.
Father's cousin.
Yeah.
And what did they do, your father's cousin in Baltimore? Did they have a business?
Oh, he was a bricklayer.
Mm-hmm. And so they had come and settled here first.
My father came and settled here. I don't know how it worked that time.
Did your father go back and forth?
No.
Okay, when he came, he came.
Still, yeah.
And he came with your mother when he came.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're not sure now whether your father's cousin was here before him or not?
No, I'm not sure, no.
Yeah. Because I was trying to figure out, too, for people, why do they come to Baltimore? You know, rather than go to Philadelphia or New York or Boston, and if they had said to you any reason why they chose Baltimore, maybe, you know, as you said, you thought your father's cousin had been here first.
First, yeah.
But you're not sure now, so you don't really know then why they would have come, why they would have chosen Baltimore over other places. Okay, you told me that your father worked for a couple of years in a copper works in Curtis Bay.
Yeah.
Okay, what did he do there, do you know?
He never said that. He worked hard and all that, so.
Well, where did they live when they came to Baltimore?
He lived on Transit Street.
Uh-huh, so in Little Italy.
Yeah.
Well,
they tore down, didn't he? Project there, yeah.
They had an apartment?
Apartment, yeah. Lived with a Jewish family.
Oh, the Jewish family owned the house,
house
and they
yeah.
had an apartment
yeah.
in, what, second floor, third floor?
Second floor.
Yeah. Small?
It was small. Every time my mother would have a child, and I think if it was a girl, the Jewish lady was didn't like the idea, she liked boys.
Yeah, sure. How long did you live there?
I didn't live there. I mean, I was born on High Street.
Oh, so they moved
yeah,
from
they moved
Trinity?
They had one boy before me, but he died, though.
Uh-huh.
After they moved on High Street, where John Chihuahua is right over there, a couple doors down from there.
About what number is that?
Yeah, that episode would be...
Were your sisters there?
Nick the plumber there.
217.
About 217. So that's where you were born?
Yeah.
On High Street. And then how long did the family stay there? How many of the children were born there?
I think it was about a couple of them.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Did you also, your parents rented the apartment?
Oh, they rented,
From what, were they Jewish people or German people?
German people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this time. And then where did you go from High Street?
He had rented a store there on the corner where Gentile is.
Yeah.
And then Galliano used to own that store. And my father didn't stay there too long because every time he was raising the rent to him.
Yeah.
So then he happened to by where he is now, and Galliano didn't like it too much. So why did you move? You know, you couldn't do that and all that stuff. So
yeah.
My father says he had
a
chance buying that.
Yeah, kept getting bigger.
Yeah. My father had a chance buying that property, and he stood there all them years after he had to cut a few more kids there.
Well, when he had the store where Gentile's is, did you live there above
upstairs,
the store?
Upstairs, yeah, because my mother said, yeah, still on the third floor there.
Yeah, and when did he move to?
When I was small, about a couple of years old.
Styles, right?
Styles Street, yeah. He bought that, well, that was a row house, and then they converted it up and made a store out of it, and then since then, he was doing business there.
Yeah. So you were about what age when he moved to Stiles?
About 2 years old.
2 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't make sense, because if you moved to Gentilly's, over Gentilly's, and then there were a couple of kids born there, you would have to be more than 2 years old. Have to be young, but...
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, do you know the year that he bought the house? You have the property, you have the deed?
He's got the deed, but I am on speaking terms with him, so
oh, okay.
It's about 4 years.
Right, right, right. So now, did he tell you how he managed to get, he had to have a little money ready to start a store because he had to buy food to put in the store.
Mm-hmm.
How did he manage to do that?
Well, he worked a couple of years over there, and he saved a few cents, and, well, then stuff was not, you know. Well, he didn't have these freezers or anything.
Right.
He just had, like, a counter with a marble top, and an ice box he would put, would come in and put the ice in there.
Now, when he was in the store over Gentilly, or when he just started, whether he was in the, Style Street or over Gentilly's, what kinds of groceries and meats did you have? What did you stock?
Well, you would have like Italian groceries and meat. You started out, you know, just the time.
Where did he, do you know where he got the supplies from? Which of the...
No.
Like Lombardi's for macaroni or?
Right.
Hmm?
Lombardi's on Upper Mall Street.
Well, he didn't get the macaroni from him. Oh, well, I used to go buy the macaroni there when I used to,
it
was small.
Street.
Yeah, I used to go buy the macaroni there.
To bring it back to the store to sell?
No, to eat.
Oh, to eat.
Yeah.
So, but did he sell macaroni in his store?
No.
Oh, he didn't?
No. Just the meat and a few things.
Oh, cans of goods.
Mm-hmm. Tomatoes or paste like that.
Yeah, and you don't know where he got that stuff at all?
No, because I remember my mother said one time when I was small, I was maybe about a year and a half, 2 years old, so I went upstairs one time, they had some money saved in a diaper, and I dragged this diaper all the way down the step and I brought it outside. It says, it was so dirty. Lucky that people would pick it up. They had about $600 saved in there.
Oh.
And nobody picked it up because it was wrapped up
in his diaper.
Until I can remember from there.
Yeah.
When you're small like that.
Did they ever have the habit later on of putting their money in one of the banks, either the Albemarle Apicella Bank or?
No. As a family grew, it just about keep the expense going.
Yeah. Did when your parents moved to Stiles Street, your father was able to buy the house?
Yeah, he bought it then. Yeah, I don't know what he paid for it.
Yeah,
it was cheap.
Sure.
$1,500.
And do you know if he borrowed from say the Apicella
bank? No,
for
I
that?
Think so. No.
Uh-huh. Because a lot of people did, you know.
I think I remember him. He had a book. He used to pay the bone on. Maybe it would have been the episode of making payments.
That's right, that's probably what it was. Yeah. They didn't, they only lent you a little bit of money, but it was enough to
cover it. Younger, you know.
Sure. Well, someone tells me that he was about 11, 12 years old, and he had to bring the book every week for his mother to pay off their house. So that's why he remembers. And you said you started working pretty young in the store, like after you came home from school?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even as young as when you were going to St. Leo's?
No, then I was too young.
You were too young to do anything that would help?
Yeah, it would help,
So when did you start, when you were around 12?
About 12, 13, yeah. Then I would start getting meat. I caught a lot of help because I was room there for him.
Yeah.
I must have got to learn, so.
Yeah. Well, your father then taught you how to, handle the meat and...
Yeah.
How did you wait on the customers, or you just cut the meat for him?
I waited on the customers. When I was about 16, I used to go take a nap because you used to get up early in the morning. So
yeah.
I used to take care of the store.
Yeah, how early do they open the store in the morning?
About 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and how...
6 to about 10, 11 o'clock at night, because they used to have these barbers used to come down, and they closed the shop 9 o'clock then on Saturday night. Friday night, rather. And then if you go to sleep, they would bang on the door, they'd come down and open up for them.
Would they want sandwiches or something?
No, regular meat, fresh meat, veal cutlets, sirloin steak.
To buy for their next day?
Yeah, had a couple of barbers from Waverly used to come there. My father used to tell them, could you come a little early? He says, no, that's what time we close the shop.
Yeah.
And you had to wait for them. First time you get done, it was about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you had to get up early in the morning.
Did you keep the meats fresh with the ice box?
Yeah.
But that must have been pretty hard. I mean, you had to get the ice changed, what, every day?
Well,
how long would it last?
It would last a couple days.
Uh-huh.
It would melt, and well, it had to paint down, so it would run out of it.
You had your ice boxes down in the basement?
No, I had it in its first floor there.
First floor.
It had that pipe that runs down.
Oh, I see. So as the water, that's something you would not think of. What happens when it starts melting? Yeah. Where did you get the ice from?
Some surgeons.
Yeah. Because he was one of the people
in the... bring in big cakes, and he used to put them in. Well, it would keep the meat cooler for a while.
Sure.
It would come around every just couple days or so.
You were open also on Sunday, weren't you?
Yeah, we were open on Sunday, because we used to have, then there used to be a lot of people going to church. And
right.
Used to come half a day on Sunday.
Only half a day?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
After we close up, who will come in for a rap on the door? I forgot a garlic.
Yeah.
How about some parsley? How about some change for church?
Right. Yeah, well, Mrs. Pastore told me that they did more business on Sunday than they did any other day of the week.
On Lumber Street.
Yeah, because people would work 6 days a week, and Sunday would be the only day they would have to go shopping.
Well, see, too, and they had a good spot there.
Yeah.
So because when you get Stones' Bakery and Jake's.
Yeah, but then, too, Joe, it was relatives that would visit. The people down Little Italy, you know, they would come in and they would buy lunch meat, you know.
Oh, yeah, they used to stay until late.
And then we would have St. Gabriel's feast, you know, and the people from far away would come and they would buy. The stores would have to be open then, you know, buy lunch meats or whatever. Because if the family was coming, they would make a big meal, you know, and the stores had to be open. It ain't like you have a refrigerator now, you know, a freezer. Years ago, you had a little ice box with a little piece of ice.
You
and
too,
every time you needed something, you
had to go down and get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did, so you really opened up really any time people wanted something?
It would bang, sure.
Right.
Come,
Now, where did most of the customers come? Now, from going back as early as you remember, say you're 12 years old and you're cutting the meat in the store, who were most of your customers? Where did they come from?
They would come like some on a Saturday from mostly all over. Blair Market, a few Italian people.
Park Heights.
Yeah, but Masseria's, Park Heights.
Italians from Park Heights?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Masseria, because he was my best man.
Masseria, who's that other lady? One used to call Mussolini.
She lived up off New York Road there.
Yeah, it was all scattered.
Just like the Alice Good customers, they come from Washington.
Yeah, right. So they came from a real wide area.
Cereals.
Mm-hmm, from near Lexington Market.
Yeah.
Hollandtown, too, even then. Hollandtown.
As these older stores started building up, business was going down.
Yeah.
Was
there much a competition from stores? Were there many stores in Highland Town area that would be able to compete with you that early? Like in the 20s and 30s?
No. My father had the store there was St. Tony's, Marano's, Vaccarini, my uncle, Calvo. Then it was...
No, she means down Hollandtown. There was none there.
Yeah, but that's a good question. That's a good answer, too, because that was another thing. I was wondering, since there were so
many
stores there, and then up by the Bel Air Market, there were a couple of grocery stores. How were you all able to do decent business?
Well, my father used to treat the customers good. They wanted some parsley, give them some parsley. He'll buy a
pound of soup, meat, to get onion, parsley, celery, everything. With
oh,
with
I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so it was, right.
Because my father used to say, they come from far away, so you've got to treat them good to keep them.
The people in the neighborhood come in too?
Oh, yeah, they came in too.
Now, you were selling meats, and Vaccarino was selling meats, so I was wondering if there was anything that
jealousy.
Would be for, not jealousy, but okay, your people are Sicilian, his people are Sicilian, would Sicilians go to one store and not the other store? Would the Abruzzese go to the Abruzzese stores, you know, whether that was ever seen?
No.
But all the stores in there were Sicilians, everywhere.
Well, then the Cardenas weren't.
No, but they didn't handle no meats, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that you're right.
No,
yeah,
but yeah,
they didn't
lunch
had
meat,
like lunch meats,
meat.
Groceries, and packaged goods. But Vaccarini had his own customers, and his father had the own customers.
Yeah.
And then even around neighborhoods, certain people went to his place. One that lived closer to him went to his father. The one that lived closer down High Street, Albemarle, President Street, they all went to Vaccarini's now, like where his father was, Central Avenue, as far as Eden Street, as far as Broadway. That's how
So it was like a geographical location. And also Paisani. Paisani would come to Europe.
Because Al was telling me the other day, he says, Joe, he says, when I took this business, there's nothing doing. He says, we had to wait the jewelry there. And what's her name? Nardo's?
Nardo.
Says, we used to have to stay here at 9 o'clock at night. He says, for what? For a cup of pound of meat. He used to save him sirloin or this and that. And when he told Mr. Reckerman, he said, I'm closing 5 o'clock. He says,
but there was never no jealousy. In other words, if his father ran out around state, they would go down Macarini's. And Macarini, you know, there's no hard feelings. Like if I come to your place and you don't have what I want, I go somewhere else.
Right.
But if I'm your steady customer, I keep coming to you.
Right.
Unless you don't have what I want.
Right.
Yeah,
it was friendly.
Good friends. They used to go to slaughterhouse. They used to mark the meat up and veal. They used to sell plenty of veal. Well, then veal was cheaper.
Right. But that's where they used to go to get their meat escapes.
Yeah, Rookersburg.
Which was also in Highlandtown?
No,
it's Pennsylvania Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or Reed or Plitt. They used to have a lot of them slaughterhouses.
Yeah, Toronto sold packaged goods and lunch meats and vegetables, fruits, and you know.
Yeah.
Artichokes, bacalao soap.
Yeah.
Codfish, you know, soaked, you know. But I never remember, because like if I went to his, when I was a kid, I remember going, because we lived a half block away from him. If we went to the store and his father didn't have, like, Solan, you know, my mother said, well, go down Macarini. And I used to go there. They didn't have, and then we had to do whatever. We had to get something else, like, you know. But we would exchange stores, you know. But the one that lived closer, like, more broad, we would go to his father. And the ones more down towards the waterline would go to Macarini.
Don Marini used to have the store there.
I was like, the Marini's used to have the store right now. There was two stores, three.
Three.
The Gattuso's. There was three stores where his where got the store now. Right next door was a store, 1917 and 1915 was stores.
That's one thing. My father was good to the customer. If it was an ounce over, 2 ounce over, he wouldn't charge them. And the people would see that and come back.
Most times you could do those things, but now, of course, you can't.
Oh, man,
I remember your father stating he started with one leg of veal. That's how he started. He didn't even have a butcher block. He had like a piece of marble. And then gradually he got the beef. And then first thing he started having tomatoes.
I remember some veal chops, 18 cents. Veal chops, 25 cents.
But they used to be the they used to have chickens out in coops right out in the street, just like they do in New York, you know. And it was his father, the Marini's,
no.
The Gattuso's.
Marini had, he failed out. He went out of business because he got a store in William Ion Avenue. With Gattuso's, he used to sell chickens 25 cents a piece. My father would see that, he would cut them down to 20 cents a piece.
Well, you know what it reminded me of?
And he would have them,
on Jewtown, Lubbridge Street, you know all them stores all lined up? Well, that's how those three stores were, but then two of them closed. And then his father stayed.
Yes, yeah.
How long did they stay open? Into the 20s, you think? Cattusi's and Marini?
Yeah, about in the 20s, yeah.
Yeah, then, yeah. They went out. Mm-hmm. And but you said that they had, you had chicken coops, what, in the
yeah.
back?
To in the yard, yard, outside.
Out front.
Oh, out front of the store.
Live lambs,
goats,
Tom,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you go to get those things?
Farmers used to bring down Cannon Street.
Camden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My father one time in the yard used to have 75 of them during Easter.
Well, who would bring, did you ever have goats?
Yeah.
Goats, yeah.
Yeah.
That's for Easter.
His father used to, and little lambs too, Joanna.
Not too much lamb. I used to buy them.
People used to buy whole. Of course, they were tiny then. You can't touch them now.
Then $2 and a quarter.
Yeah. Did Italian farmers or people who lived out where they could have animals bring in goats?
Yeah,
or were they Americani farmers that had goats?
Americani, like, you know.
They were. That had goats too. Yeah.
They used to sell hogs down the market.
Yeah.
They weren't live though. Split. My father used to bring. We're talking way back.
Yeah.
Used to bring them. We used to put them on a chicken coop and put them outside.
Yeah.
People would come with buy half and they didn't make the lard or whatever.
Your
father
used to slaughter them there too, didn't he?
No, not the hogs.
No.
Not the
hogs. The
goats.
Goats.
After you got inspection, got so close that when you couldn't.
No, those days it was different, and now everything has to be inspected. You know, years ago, when you bought a chicken, my mother used to cook the chicken feet. We used to cut the neck off and make soup. They're not allowed to sell that now. They're not allowed to sell that. Even the lungs and the heart.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't sell
lame
them.
Lame liver, got them. No, I think they had the long worms like that and the lame liver.
Yeah,
but they stopped it for a while. I don't know if you could sell it now.
Well, it's too much population. Too much goes on there.
Now they don't put nothing in the way of the hog. You eat everything.
Well, how about my chickens? They used to cut the intestines. I remember my mother cut the intestines and washed them out with vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
And wrapped leek and fresh spring onion.
My father used to do it. And wrap it around.
Then steam it with wine. My mother used to do it. Yeah, but they had to be cut and rinsed in vinegar and all soaked and so forth. And years ago, my father eating around a chicken head, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, they don't throw nothing away, but now they won't sell the liver and the lungs, Joe.
We really used to work because you had to clean the turkeys, and you get them turkeys, big turkey like that, my father, kill them, so put them in hot water.
But you couldn't do that now. You couldn't keep them out in the street now, like they used to do years ago.
Well, did your father have a horse and wagon that he used to use to go and get the stuff?
No, he used to.
Or a wheelbarrow, or what?
No, he used to have, first he started out with a bicycle, but he couldn't tell much. He ordered the stuff and they would bring it down. And after he got himself, I guess he built up and got himself a little car.
Mm-hmm.
After I got a little car, I used to go down and ski and get pork and all that hot dog, put it back in the rumble seat.
Yeah.
I threw the carrot.
Now, did you have the practice like my aunt did of keeping the book, credit on the book that people would buy from you, but they would charge it, and then they would pay a little bit every week or whatever.
That's right, yeah.
Now, did this, most of the people who bought in your store, did they seem to do that? I mean, was it a regular family thing?
A family thing. Some paid and some didn't pay, so.
Right.
His father used to let it go if he knew the person didn't have it, like, you know.
Right.
They
but you knew all the families who you were giving credit to, so that way you knew that if they weren't paying because they couldn't, was something.
You know, years ago, the Italian people, well, I don't know, maybe it still exists now, where the husband always kept the money. The wife wasn't allowed to keep no money. She went to the store and she charged, and when he would get paid on the end of the week, he would go to the store and pay the bill, you know, and that's how that was. But of course now it's different. Well, I imagine some families are still the same, because I know my sister was like that. Her husband wouldn't give her no money. He would buy everything, or she had to go to the store charge, and then he would give her the money to pay.
So the woman would come in and not pay,
charge
it, and the husbands would come in later.
They would have two books. I would have a book, and you're the store owner, you would have a book. They'd market in my book, they'd market in your book.
Oh, so you had a copy,
that's
too.
Right.
But make sure that everybody knew what was
said. Well, suppose they would lose the book. I mean, what would you, if you didn't have it down, too?
Yeah, sure. Now, what happened, do you ever recall people who didn't pay because they just, you know, were irresponsible. They didn't. Did your father say, okay, you know, no more credit because you? I know you can pay and you're not paying.
Well, what happened one time? My father made the, it was American people. He made the, they were living down number two school. So they made, I don't know what they owed him, $50 or something like that. So in them days, he didn't know. He went over to a lady's house and she called the police and says, this man came to bother me. Mind you, she owed my father money.
Yeah.
Yes, she brought him to the court. The judge says, yeah, I know. He says, the judge knew, you know, my father.
Well, yeah, the people were green at that time.
Yeah.
But he
bottom.
Let it go. His father let it go.
Yeah.
His
the court says, I know. He says, why don't you pay this man? He says, you ate the stuff just to get out of it. You know, she said,
right.
He came here to attack. What the judge said, why don't you pay you? You got the stuff? Well, I know she paid $1 or $2 a week and after my father.
Yeah, but then he didn't give her any more
food
or
anything. They won't come no more.
Not
yeah.
Big money
the idea
like that.
They don't care.
Big money like that, like $2, $3,
yeah.
Even $5, $6, he probably even forgot about it. He would forget because if he knew the family was in need, you
right.
know, he would let it go.
Yeah.
But yeah, if he knew like a stranger would come, then that would get his goat, you know.
In your memory, did people more or less eventually paid what they owe? Like say for example, a man was got sick on the job, you know, because a lot of the men down there were in contract
labor,
ditch
yeah.
diggers,
mm-hmm.
and they could get backaches and all that. But did they eventually then pay what
they tried
owed?
To. Yeah, they tried to, mm-hmm. yeah. If they couldn't pay, they couldn't
yeah.
pay
them, but the guys. Yeah, we were speaking about it. It was like one big happy family. You used to sleep with your doors unlocked, really. We had a back
yeah.
entrance. And it was one big happy family. If the fights would go on, like Primo Carnera, I know if you remember that far back, he used to be a fighter, he was in town.
Oh, yeah,
fighter.
Yeah.
And if he would be a winner, it'd be 11, 12 o'clock, they would bring jugs of wine out. And one big happy family, but it's all changed.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You
didn't have
you'll
to
barely
be afraid.
The
you'd sleep out on the bench, out in the backyard, you'd sleep.
Yeah.
I'll never forget my brother, rest his soul. He was killed in the service. He used to hang down in Granice if they had a confectionery store. And my mother always wanted to come in a certain time. Us girls, my mother had the four girls, the two girls, we used to sleep in the back room. No screens at that time, you know. Who could afford screens
right.
with six children? My father worked for the city, making $12 a week. And I'm laying in bed, and I hear a clothespin come in the door, in a window, rather. And it was my brother. He was going, open the door, don't let Mommy hear me. And he was throwing clothespin to wake us up.
Yeah.
And like I said, we used to sleep with our doors open, unlocked. But you couldn't do that no more. And if, like I say, there was a fight going on, they would come out, the neighbors next door, you know, one big thing, who would make this, and we'd share it, you know? But it's dying out, man. It's nothing. He tells them the streets down here are dead during the day. And years ago,
yeah, if it wasn't for his restaurant, that's why the episode, there's a little business for the restaurant.
But he's
yeah.
a hell of a nice guy, Alan.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah, I think once Harbor Place is open, people
yeah.
can walk from there into Little Italy.
Well, you know, when we first moved there on Exeter Street, we used to walk downtown. At that time, you had to wear a hat, you know, now it's different. We used to put a hat on, walk down Pratt Street, and then get uptown. We had to walk. We never rode a bus because we couldn't afford it.
Right.
We had to walk.
Yeah.
We used to walk to Broadway and do a little shopping down Broad Market, you know, and then walk back.
Yeah, we make sausages down there. It goes down in Texas too. You know, it's when his aunt called us, she says, "Hey, Joseph, one of my aunts called. She says, wants 15 pounds of sausages with the fennel, another 5 pounds." She says to bring to Washington. Mind you, we have. I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "They ain't got none of the fennel. They're not gonna make it like they do here." She says, "Even in Washington, it says it's a lousy place."
Well, see, he learned that trade from his father. His father made 5 different kinds
of sausage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether they
have. Yeah, I'll make a. I make the, what they call sweet, it's, yeah, hot, fennel. I make the one with the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's a New York style
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah.
And
the liver.
One with the liver. Well, liver, I just learned it to make it original. Well, you buy it
yeah.
in New York, the one with the cheese? You heard about it?
Yeah, I haven't eaten it. I've heard about it. We always just buy the one with the fennel
mm-hmm.
in it.
Yeah.
You know? My uncle made his own sausage.
Well, you said Joanne, though.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like what she said that.
What else would I be? But what happened, how did things go along during the Depression when a lot of people were out of work and they needed to eat? How did you?
Well, the church. Her father was given
my
that
father was
stuff.
On the committee down at the church, and they would give bags of flour around, help to pay the gas bill. The
sugar,
ones that were really in need.
Yeah.
They would even give us clothing if you needed it, you know, but you had to stand almost like in a bread line. That was very bad there at that time. Was it in the 30s, I think?
Yeah.
Well, people wouldn't buy, I mean, they
but then, you know, the neighbors
clothes,
would
but
help.
They would buy half, like they would cut down or
yeah.
ground meat to stretch it with pound spaghetti and beans.
Right.
But
yeah, I'll never forget my mother. She had six of us, a pound of ground meat and a pound of bread, and you know, to stretch it, you know.
Right.
But the neighbors were very nice. They would help, like if you were in need or you were sick or if someone died in the family, you know, they used to lay them at home then. And they would come, who would bring the coffee, who would bring the lunch meat, who would bring the meal for the evening, you know, everything was done in the house. But the neighbors were very nice. I'm surprised now everything is so different.
Oh. Yeah. But they've more or less changed what they would buy. When they didn't have a lot of money, they would buy the cheaper things to...
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when there was a good time, prosperity, they would treat themselves.
That's right.
But as, like you say, the children would get maybe a little bigger. They'd just start, you know,
yeah.
go
work.
To work, and then things would be. Once the wife would be working, she would be taking care of the house. The husband would go out to work. He wouldn't make much. Then it wasn't too much.
Right.
And she would manage. And.